Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Maron to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Maron at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
I want you to imagine everything I tell you as if you're there yourself.
Welcome to Dragoncast.
Do you remember any of the events that led up to your disappearance?
Whilst we're waiting for House of the Dragon Season 2, Jamie East and Chris Mandel dive into some acclaimed series just ripe for a bit of analysis.
Don't come unless you leave your front door open. You have to invite me in.
First is Britt Marling's cult classic, The OA.
I remember everything.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Dragoncast. I'm Jamie East.
And I'm Chris Mandel.
And this is a bonus episode. As you will know by now, if you've listened to this one, you know what we're doing. This is the OA bonus episodes. We are now on season one, or part one, episode 5. We were going to do this before Christmas, but didn't, because kind of life got in the way.
Oh my and God. December was crazy.
It was pretty crazy. So apologies that it's taken us so long to get around to doing this. One hell of a... I keep saying this every time we talk about the OA, but this really felt like a turning point in the storyline. And what did you think, Chris?
I loved it. One of my favorite episodes so far.
I'm so glad you're enjoying this. I seem to be enjoying it more and more as it goes on.
The more
as well.
I'm enjoying it, the more I realized how hard I found it at the start. Now I sort of like, I get what they're doing. I'm really invested.
Yeah.
And I really like this episode. A couple of things I loved. First of all, taking people, or in this case, Homer, out of the cell. That was just a chance to just see more of that world, to like have different kinds of development. That Emery Cohen, who plays Homer, is just absolutely great. I think he's fucking talented, and I really, really enjoyed seeing him. Just what I also like about the show is they don't really keep you in the dark too long. I mean, it literally ends with OA being like, we're going to recreate the moves. That's why you're here. That's why I've brought you. And it's like, great. You're just telling us what we need to know. That's what the stakes are now. And I really like that. It's very lean storytelling. It's just very, but it's really compelling. And I thought the way that Hap, Jason Isaacs' character, kind of used Homer seducing that woman to play the audio to sort of taunt them all and try and go, you guys are unified against me. I'm going to like fuck that up. I thought that was really clever.
I
thought Cuba looked great. I thought there was just such an exotic sort of element to it, this episode, just being out of that cell for a while.
And it was also just got me thinking, it's like, how rich is Hap? Whereabouts, you know, how can you just, maybe this is like a thing that people in America can tell, how can you just like own a plane and just decide I'm flying to Cuba with a hostage and not get stopped by anyone? Or how does that even work? Are you allowed to do that? I don't get
seems
how you can do
suspicious
that.
To me. I get, yeah. Seems very suspicious. There was also, it's funny because I was, we were talking in the Dragoncast Game of Thrones rewatch episode about slow horses, and that has a pivotal storyline in season two where someone flies a very small plane. And I thought, oh, that's the second tiny plane I've seen in a week. One more, and it is officially a trend. But yeah, something about owning a little plane, I think, is quite villainous, isn't it? It's just so sort of creepy.
You don't really need a little plane. Anyone that's got a little plane, maybe they're...
And they make such an irritable noise as well. It's just, I don't like them. But I thought it was great. We're just getting a greater sense of the movements. We're seeing them performing the movements. So there's obviously some sort of sequence they have to do. And really amazing. I mean, I sort of did know that some sort of choreographed dancing was an integral part of this show. I knew that from just like hearing chatter around it when it was originally out. I didn't expect it to be quite so compelling though, because it's like they're performing it, like their whole body is convulsing into these shapes, and I'm still
it's very contemporary dance at Lambda or whatever.
Yeah, it is, like Lambda or something.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it looks like it is happening to them. It looks like something is like overwhelming them. It's so intense that it's not as if they're just sort of like doing this. It's very aggressive, like muscular dancing, which makes it feel part of this idea that it's happening visceral, across space and time.
And also just how they're discussing it, you know, when they're, or maybe, you know, they're just slowly trying to piece together the fact that there is, that perhaps they're a sequence of moves that's somehow interlinked, because they talk about, or maybe when your fingers are there, that's when it goes into your move of this, and you know, they keep doing that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, carry on.
I could do reminded with each of them sees a sequence when they have their near death experience.
That's seemingly what is happening. Yeah. As we learn at the end of the show, Scott has his moment, you know, and we'll talk about the big thing that happened at the end there, and what it does. They seemingly the shaman, the woman, or the, you know, whatever it is, whether or not they even see the same, whether or not they have the same experience when they're with that woman, I'm not sure we know, but they come back to life, with their own set of moves. Intrinsically like embedded into
and
their
so
soul.
They know them, they know the movements, they know the
they know
individual
their own
moves
movement. Yeah, they yeah, know their
but
own.
They're trying to figure out how they would sort of jigsaw together, essentially.
Yeah, because I think Prairie OA had hers first, and then Homer had his, and just the two of them, just as towards the end, as Scott had his moment, they kind of get the sense that they're all connected. So they realize that there's something happening. There's something they're supposed to know or supposed to do. There seems to be a purpose to them. And they then realize that they hold a few cards now. Because what they have over Hap is knowledge. They, you know, and you see him kind of run down. He's like, whoa, what are you doing? And they're like, oh, we're exercising.
That was really exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, what are you doing? It's like, we're just exercising. No, you're not. What are you doing? And
am I right in thinking that his research into near-death experiences isn't actually to do with their higher power? It's just that the two things have sort of... they're sort of related. And so
I think he's kind of amazed that something other than, I think he was, did we not learn that he was trying to record sound, or that
he was trying to record the audio of where they go. Yeah.
Yeah. So he just wants to know if there's life after death, if there is some kind of conscious journey to be had after someone dies.
Yeah.
That's what he wants to prove. It's the proof of an afterlife, really. What he wasn't expecting or bargaining for was, not only is there in this universe life after death, or some kind of halfway house, at least they come back with tools. They come back armed with some kind of theological knowledge.
And they're trying to do something. They're trying to I got the impression that they're trying to access that, say, like spiritual plane, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
If they put these together, they can access it. Or if they put these together, they can cause something to happen. I can't kind of really get my head around why, yeah. but I
don't
think
they
know yet,
yet
either. No.
No, they're just, you know, it's like being told, you know, they've realised that there's these two very strange circumstances and they both come back with very similar pieces of information. There's yeah, no way yeah. that there can be a fluke, the fact that they're prisoners. And you know. I think what's yeah. interesting is that, you know, a bit of creative licence on the fact that there's five of them there. Does that mean, you know, does that mean that, that there's only five bits of information to gather, or are they supposed to go off
yes,
and find
right.
thousands of pieces of information? How do they know?
Right,
how do
right.
they know when it ends? I think is quite
yeah,
interesting.
It's, yeah. And also I think what is really interesting, and it is just perfect sort of dramatic tension, is that Hap is instigating all of this, but he's not been to the place that he's subjecting them to. So there's this thing where he's achieved it, but they now, as you said earlier, they have a bit of agency over him.
Yeah.
Because they've been somewhere and he can't understand it. So yeah, I thought it was just really sort of really intricate, really clever. Now Prairie or OA is wanting the people in the present day mm-hmm. to come together and learn what these symbols are. So my question is, how does she explain what they are? Because you can't, unless she's recorded them, because obviously there's been security cameras, maybe before she leaves, she's able
oh, I
to
see.
Maybe
how
they
does she,
film
how does
it.
She, what, that, post yeah. her escaping, you mean?
Yeah, because it just reminds me a bit of like, you know, Next Factor when they do like boot camp and they go choreographing. She's not going to be like, so we go in here.
Yeah.
Flick. It's so much more hard to articulate what they're doing yeah. that I'm just sort of fascinated in whether she has to make those five people have NDAs. That's where I'm sort of thinking she's going to try and kill them all.
So I don't think it's a spoiler. I don't think it's a spoiler. No, I would say my theory on that is the passage of time that she's actually in there is such a long time. You know, if you've got nothing else to do all day, but yeah. then learn relatively short, no matter how complicated, but relatively short dance moves, you'd be able to crack it. It's like, you know, monkey typewriter kind of situation, I think. So, 'cause I think
they
it's
are
seven
trying
years,
to do Shakespeare here.
There's seven years passes between when she first went in and when she escaped. And I think there was kind of mentioned that it's been a year or so, or maybe a bit longer than that. So there's still some way to go for them all to be kind of stuck there doing their little dances and eating their dog biscuits.
It was really interesting when Homer does sort of like have sex with that woman, and you realize like giving him the outside world, and like I think Hap actually says to him like, you know, I'll wind the window down, like you can feel the breeze, you can, I know the sunlight really like really sort of brings him around. That actually teasing them with a bit of the outside world is like almost the cruelest thing he could do, given that they go back. And of course, Homer ends up kind of like giving into this like impulse, because he's like, I don't want to like help you kidnap this woman at all, but I haven't been touched by someone. I haven't smelled something like this before. I haven't been on soft sheets. Just, you know, it's really quite, it's quite compelling. And obviously she's, is her name Renata?
Yes.
She's like, I fucking hate you. Like, I can't believe you like seduced me and then I've woken. I mean, it is awful. It's like the worst case scenario.
It really is. And ultimately fruitless as well, because it doesn't really, what I couldn't work out was who, he was trying to recruit her to be part of the thing.
Yeah.
Does that mean he's expecting someone else to die? Or is it just like a plan B? Do you know what I mean? It was kind of
well,
like
there was,
that.
So was there five and then
well,
someone
I thought,
did
I thought,
die?
Yeah, so there was the dead, there was the, Rachel was the dead
in the bath.
In the bath. And I thought that's who Prairie replaced, unless there's still an extra space in there. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought there was someone else, yeah.
Maybe it's a hexagon and there's six.
I did think that. I was like, this is sort of a weird situation.
Yeah.
Do you know? I also forgot that Prairie hadn't told Hap that she could see again.
Yeah, that was a big reveal, that, wasn't it?
You don't a big know reveal. She,
yeah, you don't even know that she's been lying to you and all that kind of stuff. That was great. I enjoyed the policeman visit. Was great. It was a real classic, classic trope, really, where it's just like, oh my God, we're being held hostage, and you know, how can they not know? And they're screaming, and him putting the heavy metal on, and all the rest.
It's
of
It's obviously not soundproof, that basement.
No, but we did learn the thing that we learned there, that they're in a mine. So that was. It's not like a, dug it out. That was a pre-existing mine, which was kind of cool. And learned some kind of backstory to the sergeant whose wife is
ALS.
Yeah, the boxed in syndrome, isn't it? Which
and he sort of skirted around, like he was kind of like talking about assisted dying.
Yeah, that was.
And I thought that was really. I mean, that must be. You know, just tying into that broader theme of like, if there's somewhere where we can go after this, that would be of great interest to that man whose wife is locked in her own body.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, 100%. It's classic trope. Like, prisoners are downstairs, desperate to get out. But, you know, as we saw with Homer, like he went to the hotel desk when he escaped, and he was so conditioned to assume that he wasn't safe that he thought, oh no, you're calling Hap. But yeah, so he kind of ran away and wouldn't get the help he needed. But yeah, it's like when he sort of told him, he was like, you know, they're never gonna find you. So you may as well just be more compliant. I thought, God, it's
precisely
impossible.
It was nuts. It was nuts. I really enjoyed it. And then there was the great, you know, the Scott moment. You know, where Scott died.
Oh my God, amazing!
And just the revelation that. That it was there.
They reversed his death, so the blood literally retracted.
This is how they realize that their dance moves do something.
Yeah,
because they do it with such intensity and, I guess, correctness and repetitiveness that, you know, what those two moves on their own were there to do was for them to be able to save Scott's life so that they could get the third move from Scott.
I thought that if they can bring someone back from two,
what can they do with three?
My thing is, I think there's going to be like a terrorist attack or something, and they're going to like a bombing, or it's going to be like saving like thousands of lives or something. Like amplify. Can they amplify what they did to Scott? But I don't know, because it just doesn't feel like a terrorist. It doesn't feel like a you know, plane flying into a building sort of show. But then there is an airplane now.
There is an airplane. I mean, like, even me saying something, the signs are all there, is all I'll say.
Mm.
It's all there. If you looked close enough, it's all been revealed.
I feel like there's some stuff in the present at the school that I'm just not, I haven't been engaging with that as much. I do find
The teacher kind of thing is a bit weird, isn't it? The headmaster kind of watching them all have a discussion. And
There's something.
But yeah, I thought the whole cinematography of Scott lying like Christ on the floor and, you know.
I thought that was so, you know, the loincloth, the collapsed legs, the arms split out, even some of the blood in the palm of his hands, like a stigmata. Yeah. I was like, this is like really powerful.
Yeah.
What was the reason he didn't get gas? Is it so that he could be alive, so he could be conscious when he died?
Yeah, it was to... Well, I think they were just trying to do what Homer had been doing.
Because Homer did it, in that last episode, he'd done it, for a year, right? He was constantly trying.
Yeah.
You know, this sort of, mental inner strength. And Scott maybe just doesn't have that, because he kind of panicked, I want the gas.
Yeah.
Also, can't believe they wouldn't just cut his hair to get that thing on. They're like, he's kind of like, oh, we have to put oil in your hair. I thought, just cut it off, for goodness sake.
Cut the hair off, shave it.
But he's kind of been converted now, hasn't he? He's sort of
so he's all in, which inevitably will mean that Sharon Van Etten will be in as well. Or maybe there are only four of them then. Yeah, there is a space, isn't there?
Yeah, I just thought someone else, I just thought a smaller character died in the cell at some point, but...
Oh God, are we having brain farts again? I don't think so.
You know, this is, but yeah, I mean, the thing is, it will tell you what you need to know. That's my...
Yeah.
This okay. show is like not holding your hand so much, but it's just not being stingy with its reveals, which I think is a really like, yeah, I respect
well,
it.
Well, I think that's what that's part of why I think it's so not difficult at the beginning, but there's so much like what is going, there's so much to reveal that actually all of these reveals feel like big monumental kind of moments, but they're all just little pieces of like this ginormous puzzle. And even like the big reveal at the end of season part one is still, we're still on a journey, which does like take one hell of a twist in part two. But yeah, I loved it. It was great.
It's so good.
Yeah, I just really enjoyed it. Felt like an expansion of the universe and really kind of all of a sudden supercharged the, you know, the yeah. Oh shit, I really want to watch this now.
So do we think Scott will have swallowed an animal in that period? Is that implied?
I think it came, I think what's in, I think the whole animal thing is that, because Prairie swallowed a bird and her kind of, her kind of movement is kind of like, you know, that kind of thing, shadow yeah, kind wings. Of animal kind of thing.
Yeah,
So I think it's metaphorical and I can't remember what Homer swallowed.
Wasn't it a starfish or a sea urchin or something?
Yeah. And his is, I don't know what.
Kind of more jagged and like.
Yeah. So I think that's the tie in with that is that whatever they see or whatever they connect with in their NDE, will form the basis of that's what gives them the moves, them ingesting this animal.
Right. Right. I kind of wondered if there was something in like they're repeating the like egg hatching bird that like if it's some cyclical thing in order to control life, you're like the channeling the animals like life and death in the movement and that is like
possibly.
You know possibly. I don't know. I did
send Brit Marlin a message on Instagram, but she hasn't replied yet.
You'd hate it though if you did die, and you're like, okay, looking for my animal, and it's like a horse. You'd think, oh god, how am I going to swallow that?
And also, giddy up! I could just have done giddy up, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just fucking you. Or if it's like a tiger, you'd think, oh goodness sake, god. Just want something
just
little,
a
like
sandwich.
Just a worm would be fine, wouldn't it? But. Yeah, so I'm very intrigued. I'm very intrigued, brilliant. As ever.
Okay, let us know, everybody. I presume if you listen to this, if you got to episode 5, then I think you're watching along with us. So let us know what you're thinking as well. Have you got any predictions? What do you think? Are you enjoying it even? Have you given up? Let us know.
What do I need to know? If you've got any non-spoilery, what do I... Just tell me.
Help Chris along.
Also, when do I have this homework?
Well, the homework was going to be the dance moves, but then I forgot just how complicated they were.
I thought it was going to be like, you know, I kept watching it being like, what? I don't understand.
No, I was going to suggest that we learnt the dance moves so that by the time we finish the OA, we could both perform the dance moves. I very quickly realised what a dreadful idea that is. Because it's
one of your less good ideas, I would say.
Not one that's going to stick, I don't think.
No. Can't wait for next week.
Me neither.
We're getting close to the end.
We are. There's only a few more to go.
Three more to go.
And then we need to discuss whether
and then part two. And then part two.
Then part two, yeah. Yeah, perfect. Let us know what you think in the comments below or send us an email dragoncast@daftdoris.com or send us a tweet @dragoncast_pod.
See you next time.
See you later. Bye.
Bye.
If you'd like to get involved in the podcast, just head over to Twitter @dragoncast_pod or email dragoncast@daftdoris.com and leave us your Easter eggs, predictions and thoughts on the show. You can also watch this episode over on our YouTube channel. Just search for Dragoncast Jamie East. Any support, whether it's a follow, a share, a mention to your friend on the bus or a tattoo on your backside is very much appreciated. Dragoncast is hosted by me, Jamie East, along with Chris Mandel and is a Daft Doris production. Drakkaris.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.